This is a recording of ISIS International from the Global NGO Forum on Beijing Plus 15, held in New York in February 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Thank you, Simone. I just want to say I'm very pleased to be here representing North America, really the United States, at the Geneva meeting. Sisters from Canada were not able to attend, and I know there are a few here in the audience, and I hope in the discussion period they'll have a chance to add their voice also. Let me begin by saying the biggest gain for women in the United States since Beijing Plus 10 is sending George Bush back to his ranch. Said to keep him there. And the election of Barack Obama as president. Here I have to note that actually Canada is the mirror image, because as we elected Barack Obama, they elected a clone of George Bush. So because of this shift in our government, I'm not really going to talk about the past, because we're working really hard, and President Obama has already taken steps to try to reverse some of the backsliding that happened during the Bush administration. For example, the Mexico City policy restricting funding for international family planning organizations has been eliminated. U.S. funding for UNFPA has been restored. So these are actions that could be taken immediately by the president. I also want to report that the first bill that President Obama signed into law was a bill called the Lilly Ledbetter Law. And it was named for a woman who suffered pay discrimination for many years and brought her case to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Bush-Roberts Court decided against her. And the first act of Congress that was signed into law last year was to restore, not her right, because she lost the case, but in the future, for women to bring pay discrimination suits, even though a lot of time had passed. President Obama also appointed the first Latino woman, Sonia Sotomayor, to the U.S. Supreme Court. We're hoping that with a couple of vacancies that may come up in the next, during this year or next, that there might actually be a second woman on the Supreme Court. So I hope I can report that to you in the future. Third. For the first time, there would be three. We had two, briefly. I also want to say that while American women have certainly experienced a lot of gains over the past decades, we still have a long way to go. Just like my colleagues have talked about women's situation in their regions, much of the persistent discrimination and inequities that we face in the United States are similar. For example, women still earn only 77 cents for every dollar paid to a man. And the situation for African-American, Latino, and Asian women, the gap is even greater. And the effect of the economic and financial crisis in the U.S. has been to displace more men and women from jobs, but because women earn less, the family is suffering twice as a result. And if we hear that women's wages are going up compared to men, it's only because men's wages are going down, not because women's wages are going up. So we too face persistent problems from this economic crisis. We also continue to experience very high levels of domestic violence all over the country, in every community, in every class. And there continue to be high rates of murder of women from domestic violence, at an average of about three a day. So we have very serious problems in this area as well. And even in education, where now women outnumber men in terms of college enrollment, girls drop out of high school at higher rates than boys, and without a high school education, earn even less than boys without a high school education. So these disparities are persistent and have been difficult to overcome. One of the things that President Obama has done is to form a new White House Council on Women and Girls. The idea is to both look hard at what agencies are doing to advance the needs and address the problems of women and girls, and to coordinate their actions so there's more systemic focus on these problems and hopefully more solutions. In addition, in terms of foreign policy and international relations, as you know, of course, our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, brings a long history of activism to women's rights, and it's really made it a centerpiece of U.S. foreign policy. She created a new position in our State Department called Global Ambassador at Large for Women's Issues. And the person who occupies that position, Milan Verveer, will be heading the U.S. delegation here to the CSW. So I say all this because obviously we have a strong partnership with the government and certainly with the State Department in pushing forward issues of concern to women in the United States and globally. And so I want to use the remainder of my time to talk about our number one priority for women in terms of U.S. action this year, and something that I think each of you can help us with. And that is CEDAW. My colleague talked about the fact that in her region, all the countries have ratified CEDAW but attached a lot of reservations. And that's unacceptable. We know that, and we want to support that effort. But in the United States, we're one of only seven countries in the world that has never ratified CEDAW. And that needs to be done this year. And in order to get that done, we really need the help of all of you. We have the support of the president, we have the support of the vice president, we have the support of our ambassador to the United Nations, and certainly the support and championship by our Secretary of State. But in our system, the executive branch alone cannot ratify an international treaty. It needs to be ratified by two-thirds of the members of the Senate of the United States, which means 67 votes. Which means even if every Democrat voted to ratify CEDAW, that wouldn't be enough. We need a lot of Republican votes as well. So this is what I'm going to ask each of you to do while you're here at the CSW during the next 2 weeks. Please, when you talk to your government delegations, ask them to please ask members of the U.S. delegation what they're doing to get CEDAW ratified. Okay? It's not rude or impolite in our culture. Just, you can ask it nicely. You can say, we know, Madam Secretary or Madam Ambassador, we know you're really for this, so how can we help you to get this ratified? Because they need to make the case with all the priorities that the government faces. They need to make the case that this can be done and that governments and women around the world are watching to see if the U.S. will walk the walk, because there's a lot of talk and it's really time for action. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is actually Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will be speaking here on the very last day of the CSW. I don't know how many of you will still be here, but if you are here or you have colleagues who will be here, please ask them to come, and when it's time for questions, please ask a question about CEDAW. It's really important because I've heard the Secretary state many times in her speeches that when she goes around the world, people ask her, why hasn't the U.S. ratified CEDAW? And that's important to her and helps her persuade others that this has to be a priority. I also want to say a word to the women here who live in the United States, what you can do. We have a new campaign that the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, where I'm working now, is leading, bringing in a very wide, diverse coalition. In fact, one of our coalition co-chairs, the YWCA of the USA, is here today, and I know they're going to help me get you signed up to work with us in this campaign, because we're going to need your help. We're going to need you to talk to your senators, to talk to your colleagues, to talk to your newspapers about how important CEDAW ratification is. So I hope you'll see me or any of the other people associated with the campaign, Ellen Chesler, who's on the U.S. delegation, and will be around. And there will be briefings by the U.S. mission this Monday coming and Thursday. And that, too, would be a fine place to ask our governor what they're doing to get CEDAW ratified. So I know my time is probably up, but I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity not only to report on what is happening in the U.S., but hopefully to encourage you to not only let's talk about it, but let's act together. I think if we do, we might be able to get CEDAW ratified this year and have the U.S. join the rest of the community of nations to make women's rights human rights in the United States as well as overseas.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.